The following contains descriptions of physical violence, sexual violence, and graphic descriptions of autopsies.
Hey, listeners, welcome to episode 73 of TGIC Podcast. I'm Jillian.
And I'm Izzy.
So we're going to do something a little bit different today. Usually, like last semester, we pre-recorded a bunch of episodes, but we were just not ahead of the game like that as much this semester. So we're trying to record from our two different colleges.
Which is really weird.
But we're going to see how it goes. We're on Zoom, so hopefully the audio sounds okay. But we really wanted to do an episode, so we're trying our best. Okay. Yeah, so today we are covering a really, really fucked up case.
Very fucked up.
Yeah, I think someone requested this on one of the like Instagram questionnaires, but yeah, definitely send in your recommendations because I like look at all of them and this one really stuck out to me. I think because there's like, they did like a Lifetime movie based on this case and I was like watching like clips on TikTok of the like Lifetime movie version. So I think that's why it stuck out to me more. It was, like, something that was, like, on my mind, I guess.
Yeah. And, like, you, I remember you texted me this case, and it was, like, another really fucked up case. And I was, like, these are the two options. These are both so fucked. Because it was, like, I feel like the cases that we've been doing, like, this reminded me of, but what was that one case that we did where we almost didn't release the episode? Because we were, like, this is so fucked up. It was about the little girl.
Oh, my God. We almost didn't release an episode? What?
No, do you remember that? We recorded it and we were like, this is so messed up. Like, and it got so many.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about though. That one ended up like, it was a really popular episode too. That was scary.
It was really scary. I made us a little bit concerned for you guys listening.
No, I know exactly. Yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. It was like the way the cookie crumbled that episode.
Yes. Yes.
It was Yeah, I remember that. It was like, we were like talking and I was just like, this is a lot. This is a lot. And then it ended up like that episode individually ended up ranking on like charts.
Yeah, it was like such a shock.
It was really unexpected.
Yeah, because we were so worried about releasing that episode.
Yeah. But anyway, we're going to be covering the Fritzl case from Austria, which is also an international case. I know I've had some requests to cover some more international cases. So this one's from Austria. So we're going to go ahead and get started with some background.
So Joseph Fritzl was born on April 9th of 1935 in Amstetten, Austria.
I'm going to be annoying. I think it's Joseph because I watched a YouTube video and they were saying Joseph. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, because I was thinking it was Joseph, but I didn't want to say it wrong. And then I said it wrong. Okay.
I watched a video. That's the only reason I know.
Okay. So he was an only child and his father was a severe alcoholic who abandoned him and his mother when he was four. So Josef trained as an electrical engineer, but held a bunch of different jobs. He worked at a construction material firm and later as a salesman. And he also earned money by renting out several properties around Austria. In 1956, when Josef was 21, he married a girl/woman who was 17 at the time named Rosemary. The two had seven children together, three sons and four daughters. And one of their children was Elizabeth. Elizabeth Fritzl was born on April 6th of 1966, and she was the middle child with three older siblings and three younger siblings. Elizabeth completed compulsory education at the age of 15 and began training to work as a waitress and got a few odd jobs here and there. In January of 1983, Elizabeth actually ran away to Vienna and stayed with a friend in hiding. However, she was later found by police and returned to her parents after about 3 weeks. She finished her training course in mid-1984 and began working as a waitress in Linz, Austria. Around the same time, when Elizabeth was about 12, Fritzl, Josef, her father, started to have more intense feelings towards Elizabeth. He later claimed that she, like, reminded him of, like, himself when he was younger, and that he actually believed that they had a, quote-unquote, like, special connection that was unlike the bond he had with his other children.
Which I feel like that's sketch to begin with, because you know how like parents are just not supposed to have favorites?
No, exactly. Yeah.
Like, I feel like that should have just started the red flags. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think there were a lot of things that should have started the red flags.
Yeah.
Like, in this case, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Yosef became more and more involved and infatuated with Elizabeth's life. He would often ask her about her whereabouts unnecessarily. And by, like, not like an apparent way, like in an unnecessary, creepy way, if that makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he would, like, spy on her in the house. And yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. Very weird. In public, Fritzl also appeared to be, like, he came off as, like, a strict and stern businessman who held his family kind of at a distance and, like, prioritized his work. Like,
which is also, like, weird in juxtaposition with the fact that he was so infatuated with, like, one of his daughters.
Exactly. And it's, like, a lot of, like, people, like, Elizabeth's friends specifically said that he never really talked to them. Like, he never really engaged with any of them. He kind of was just always in the background. Just scary. However, as Elizabeth grew older, his behavior towards her in private became, like, increasingly concerning. This is really graphic, but Fritzl would often, like, expose his genitals to Elizabeth in private. He would leave pornographic material under the pillow in her bed, and he also began to sexually abuse her.
God.
In May of 1984, Elizabeth actually revealed to her parents that she had plans to move in with her sister. And for Fritzl, this was like alarm sirens going off in his head, because he wanted to be in a space where he had control and dominance over her. Like, it was very obvious that he wanted to be dominant, not only over Elizabeth, but, like, over his entire family.
Mm-hmm.
And he could really only do that if she was living at home. And he was also worried that if Elizabeth was in private, like, in a private and less strict environment, then she would feel, like, potentially inclined to share to her sister or to other people about the sexual abuse she was enduring, because up to this point, she hadn't. So getting into the timeline a little bit, on August 28th of 1984, on Elizabeth's 18th birthday, she went missing. Her mother, Rosemary, quickly filed a missing persons report, and Yosef and her mother, like, quickly talked to the police. Yosef told police that he suspected that she had actually ran away to join a religious cult, which she had previously discussed doing. And, like, I don't think it's confirmed if she actually had discussed that in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, obviously, Yosef knew that that wasn't what happened, that she hadn't actually ran away. After sexually abusing his daughter for 7 years, Yosef lured his daughter into the basement on her birthday. He asked her to carry a door and to the basement to help him install it, because they had been doing a lot of renovations. And for some more backstory, in 1978, Yosef actually decided to start construction on his family home, and he applied for contracts to do normal expansions of the building, but he also applied to, like, make his, like, cellar under his house a lot bigger. And under this cellar, in the new extension, he actually began building rooms and walkways in the basement, and he eventually, like, there were apartments upstairs too, and he raised the rent so there would be a really high turnover so that his, like, tenants didn't ask any unnecessary questions. By 1983, the construction on the cellar was fully complete, and the pictures of this place are actually fucking terrifying.
Yeah, they're so scary. They scare me so bad.
They're so scary because it's, like, the lighting is really scary. I don't know if that makes sense.
They look like the back rooms.
Yes, they do look like the back rooms. And there's, like,
that's why they freak me out so much. Yeah, because it looks like the children's part of the back rooms.
Yeah. So the door that he had actually had Elizabeth install, like, hold as he installed it, was the last thing he needed to complete the makeshift prison that he would put her in. So once the door was fully installed, he used an ether-soaked towel, also known as chloroform.
Biggest fear.
Literally. To make Elizabeth fall unconscious, and he locked her in the chamber in the basement.
That's so scary.
It's just actually terrifying. And the chamber only had, at this point, a bed, a TV, and chains, which Fritzl used to trap Elizabeth in the basement.
That's horrifying.
Which is absolutely terrifying. About a month later, Joseph Fritzl handed over a letter from Elizabeth to police. He had forced her to write it while she was in captivity, but postmarked it from, okay, so I'm sorry about this pronunciation, Braunau?
I think that's right. That sounds right.
So the police believed that she had actually written it, like, from there to her family. The letter claimed that she no longer wanted to live with her family and that she had run away. And she warned them not to come, or quote-unquote, she warned them to not come looking for her or she would flee the country. And this was believable by police because she had previously run away and the day she had left was when she turned 18. So technically she was an adult. By November of 1986, Elizabeth had been held captive for over 2 years. And it's like, it's insane to me that like the letter and also the fact that like people just weren't talking about this case very much. And like that they believed she was a runaway meant that it went cold. Like they never, like they just dropped it.
Yeah.
So wild.
I think that's insane.
So Joseph would come down almost daily to rape her and occasionally provide food and supplies. And I also want to say at this point in the timeline, like to clear it up a little bit, that every single day during this like over 20 years where he was holding her captive, when Joseph would go down to see Elizabeth, he would tell his like quote unquote upstairs family, as in his wife and his six other kids, that he was going into the basement to write plans for the machines he sold for work.
That's so scary. Like, I would be horrified to learn that like my like already kind of like weird and like preoccupied dad, like he like had this whole other like thing happening in the basement, like underneath my house. Like, that's so scary.
Like, that's so scary to me. I don't know. And it's also, like, probably the fact that he was so, like, not, I don't want to use the word dominant, but, like, such, he was held at such, like, a high pedestal by his family that, like, nobody dared to go into the basement. Like, nobody went down there.
Yeah, that's such a good point, actually.
Like, because.
Like, I feel like I would have gotten curious at some point, but I guess they were just probably so, like, scared of him.
Yeah, that they didn't want to.
They didn't want to mess with anything.
Yeah. And, like, also, apparently he would spend, like, nights down in the basement occasionally, but his wife never really questioned it, and she said that she just thought he was, like, hardworking and committed to his job.
Crazy.
Which is wild. Also in November, Elizabeth actually had a miscarriage after 10 weeks of pregnancy and which her father had impregnated her. By August 30th of 1988, Elizabeth gives birth to her first daughter, Kirsten, in the cellar. Fritzl had given Elizabeth a, this is so fucked up. He gave her a book on childbirth, a towel, a pair of scissors, and a few diapers.
That's so fucked. I mean, on top of everything else that's already fucked up, that's so fucked.
No, but, like, that was all he gave her to deliver her own child by herself in a cellar that was probably disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, that's so chilling to me. I don't know. And by February 1st of 1990, Elizabeth actually gave birth to Stefan, who was her second child and her first son in the cellar. Elizabeth really tried to raise her children to the best of her ability with like, and like to educate them and to teach them how to read and write. And like, she tried to normalize life down there as much as possible, but also like, think about it like this, like when she went into the cellar, she was a child herself. Like she, like that's what's so scary about this whole thing is that
like, there's only so much she can do because, like, she didn't even finish growing up.
Exactly. Like, she's a child raising children because she's been in this position.
Yeah. So on August 29th of 1992, Elizabeth gives birth to another daughter named Lisa. Lisa was actually born with a heart defect, which caused her pain. And so she would cry like a lot because she was in pain. And the cellar, despite Josef like doing so much like renovations and such to it, it wasn't soundproof. So Josef got scared like that the crying from Lisa would, you know, alarm the people that lived in his house, which like,
yeah, makes sense.
I would hope they would hear and like be like, what the fuck is that? But
no, exactly. Like, know. Is that a baby crying? Yeah.
I don't know. And like, there was people that like rented out places, rooms in their house, I think too. Like, I think they like later on, they're like, yeah, I thought I would hear a baby crying every once in a while, but then they never said anything, which is not helpful.
Yeah.
So when Lisa was 9 months old, Josef like placed her outside, like on the family's front porch in a cardboard box and left her with a note that was from Elizabeth. Like Josef forced her to write it. Mm-hmm. And it like basically said that she couldn't take care of a kid right now and asked her parents to like raise it for her. Obviously this was like forced and planted, but.
Yeah. But this is like so crazy to me because like this part of it gets so much crazier throughout the story.
I know. I think it's crazy because like progressively more and more kids get like brought to live upstairs, but it's the placement and the like the lying. It's insane.
And it's like, how would Elizabeth keep delivering these children to the house without getting
right? Caught? Like she does it repeatedly and no one's just like no one finds it weird that they never found out. Like, I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. So Josef and Rosemary end up taking in this child and Lisa's eventually like they take her to the hospital and they fix her heart defect because, you know, she actually like was able to like go outside of the cellar at this point. So that's the first kid that they take in. Well, I guess I take in like in quotes. That's like not legit, but Rosemary how do you say that? Rosemary?
Yeah. Rosemary.
I don't know why I've been saying it weird.
Rosemary.
Yeah,
I want to like put fancy. An inflection on it, but I don't think we have to.
But Rosemary thought she was taking in a kid. Anyway, in 1993, Josef finally agrees to expand the cellar after years of Elizabeth asking. During this time, he's also trying to make the cellar more like normal. So he like brought down like a fridge and toys for the children. And Elizabeth and her children are tasked with clearing out the dirt for this like expansion, which I think is horrifying. They spent several years digging with their bare hands to make this like bigger.
What?
Isn't that insane?
Oh yeah.
Like that's so scary.
That's
oh my God.
So scary.
Years of like manual labor.
Yeah.
Yeah. On February 26th of 1994, Elizabeth gives birth to her fourth child named Monica. 10 months later, she's found in a stroller outside of the Fritzl house. Rosemary received a call shortly after asking her to take care of the baby. And apparently the caller like sounded like Elizabeth. So it's basically just assumed that Josef like recorded her voice or had her call or something. Mm-hmm. But Rosemary basically just thought she was taking in another one of Elizabeth's kids. Rosemary ended up reporting this phone call to police and said that like, because this was like what was weird. Like, I feel like this should have like been more alarming. Basically, yeah. They had this like new phone number. Like the family like phone line had changed and it wasn't yet in like the phone book.
Oh.
And so she said to police when she like reported the phone call, she was like, I think it's so weird that like she already knows our new phone number. It's not in the directory yet. Like, bro, you didn't find that weird? Like, what?
Yeah, you didn't, like, that didn't raise any alarm bells for you?
It was 1994. There was, like, no other way she would know your new phone number.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, I don't know how that was, like, she told that to police, too, and they didn't find anything weird about it.
That's, the police, bro, are at blame for this. This is ridiculous.
I know. So April 28th of 1996, Elizabeth gives birth to twin boys, Michael and Alexander. Michael, unfortunately, he dies a few days later due to some breathing complications, but the other twin, Alexander, is brought upstairs to be discovered at 15 months old. So he went through like a similar thing as his sisters. During this time period, Fritzl would also go on prolonged business trips for like multiple weeks, leaving Elizabeth and her children just to wonder if he was ever coming back. Like,
it's so terrible.
Like, I would imagine too, like, how do you even know what day it is? Like, how do you know what time is passing? Like, you don't have a window. Do you have a clock?
I have no idea.
Like, that's so scary. And then if he's just gone for, like, weeks at a time, like, that's, like, as, like, much pain as he's causing, it is also your only, like, way to know, like, how much time is passing.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, what about food?
Like, I think he gave them, like, the minimum amount of food that they needed to, like, survive during that time.
This is so awful. Like, this is one of the worst cases I've ever researched.
Yeah, no, I was, like, I was doing research for this, and my roommate walked into my room the other night, my roommate and her boyfriend, and they were like, what are you watching? Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you researching this right now? Because it was, like, 10:30 at night, and I was researching for this, and I was like, honestly, I don't know. It's really messed up. Yeah.
Yeah. So on December 16th of 2002, Elizabeth gives birth to another son named Felix. But at that point, Joseph had 7 children with his wife, Rosemary, and then 7 children with Elizabeth. So he's got, like, 14 kids now.
Which is, and they're living on separate floors of the
same. Yeah, exactly. So he eventually decides at that point that Rosemary can't take in another kid. So Felix is left to grow up in the cellar. April 19th of 2008, Kirsten, who is the oldest, she's 19 now, which is insane because that means she's older than when Elizabeth first went down to the basement.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And she's never seen sun.
Yeah. Never been outside. She ends up being really sick and becomes unconscious. So Elizabeth, like, keeps insisting she needs to go to a hospital, especially when she falls unconscious. So Joseph arranges for her to be brought to a nearby hospital. So she was taken upstairs by Joseph and Elizabeth, but then Elizabeth was, like, forced back down into the basement. Kirsten was taken to the hospital and diagnosed with a life-threatening kidney failure issue. Mm. So I guess it's good that she eventually was able to, like, leave, because that would have killed her.
And you know, it's actually something that I saw that, like, we didn't include in like, our research, but I think it's really interesting. In the basement, the only medicine he gave them was, like, ibuprofen.
That's insane.
So all she was taking for, like, a really long time was ibuprofen, which is actually really damaging.
It's really bad for your kidneys.
Yeah.
And your liver.
Yeah.
Probably. I know, because I take too much ibuprofen. I'm really actually concerned about my the livelihood of my liver and my kidneys sometimes. But I've stopped. Anyway, Joseph returned later to the hospital with a note supposedly written by Kirsten's mother. And he said he found it somewhere.
This guy. Why does everybody trust him?
Yeah. So at this point, like, April 21st, this is 2 days later, police are just, like, kind of concerned. They're like, wait, why did this guy just find this letter? Where did this 19-year-old with, like, kidney failure come from?
Yeah, what?
Like red flags are just starting to finally pop up. So police put out a broadcast asking for the mother to come forward for information about Kirsten's medical condition. So then they also, like, at this time reopened the case of Elizabeth's disappearance. And so Joseph, like, repeats his whole thing that she had run away to join a cult. But police then, like, consult this, like, cult expert guy. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't know a cult that, like apparently Joseph went into detail describing this cult. And the cult expert dude's like, nah, it doesn't exist. Like, I don't know why he would go into so much detail when he could be, like, fact checked like that. But, like, the cult expert dude was like, no way.
Yeah, why would he, like, why wouldn't he just say, like, an ambiguous cult? Why
is like, he dug a hole for himself. So Joseph then, like, he's, like, trying to, like, redeem himself. He's, like, showing Elizabeth letters. And the most recent one was from January of 2008. But the cult expert, like, they're, like, talking to him. They show off the letters, too. They're like, these are the letters that we have. And he was, like, said they look, this is a quote, they look dictated and oddly written.
Hmm.
So finally, they're starting to think that this seems, like, weird.
Finally.
So April 26th of 2008, after asking to be taken to the hospital to see her daughter several times, Joseph finally let Elizabeth leave the basement. So Elizabeth, Stephen, and Felix, who were all the people that were living in the basement at the time, they go with Joseph to visit Kirsten at the hospital. Police were tipped off of their arrival and brought Elizabeth and Joseph in for questioning. After being promised she would never have to see her father again, Elizabeth finally began answering some police questions. She described the horrific torture that she endured while in captivity for 24 years.
Jeez.
Josef Fritzl was finally arrested at the age of 73, and the family was taken into care, and DNA testing a few days later proved that Josef was the father of Elizabeth's children. During the investigation, they actually uncovered that in 1967, Josef was convicted of a rape and sentenced to 18 months. He had like followed this young mother home, raped her at knife point in front of her child who was sleeping next to her. But because this conviction was cleared after 15 years, that like legally he had no convictions. So they like there was no, like no one knew about it basically.
Yeah, and that's what makes me so upset, because, like, this is, like, an Austrian law specifically, but mm-hmm. it's, like, do you think that if they knew that and that was, like, on police record that they could see that right when they looked him up, would they have looked into him a little bit more?
That's what I'm wondering, like, because they would have, I would think that they would have looked at him originally, like, when Elizabeth went missing.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, people always look at the parents, like...
Exactly.
If that was on his record, they probably would have been like wanted to. I'm surprised they never searched the house to begin with. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, yeah. Like that. This kind of reminds me of like the JonBenet case.
Yeah. Like you got to suspect it comes from in the house, and then you look outward almost.
Yeah. Exactly. Like they didn't even. It's wild to me that they didn't even look in the house.
I know. Especially like after like finding no leads with this like cult thing. Like I don't know.
Yeah.
So some little information on like where they are now. After receiving extensive psychiatric care, Elizabeth and her children were moved to an unnamed village in northern Austria, where they have like several bodyguards and they still receive therapy. Kirsten did successfully recover from her medical issues, and the family continues to receive therapy because they just all have extensive health, mental health issues. Yeah. The downstairs kids have a lot of like trauma issues. Just from living in the basement. They also have some medical issues from growing up in the cellar. Like, I think Stefan, he, like, because of the height of the basement and, like, what he was supposed to grow to, he has, like, his walking's been affected because he wasn't, like, able to, like, stand up straight, basically.
Mm. And also, it makes you think, do you think their genetics also could have...
Yeah, well, I was going to get to that. Like, all of the kids have a lot of, like, genetic issues just because... You know, their child, like children of incest.
Yeah. That's so.
Yeah, it's awful. Like, so they all have different issues just from everything. The upstairs kids also have like a lot of trust issues just from like, they didn't know where they came from. Their whole, like their upbringing is like a lie. Like it's a lot.
Yeah.
Originally Elizabeth and her mother Rosemary had some issues, which I would understand, like that's understandable, they have some like disconnect, but they have been slowly able to reconcile over the years, and there was a rumor that Elizabeth had started a happy relationship with one of her bodyguards.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like when you're like living in a house with a lot of bodyguards and I could see how that like that's like the people you're meeting, but
yeah,
good for her.
Yeah.
The house's basement was filled with cement and resold in 2016. And the building was actually converted into apartments, which I think is scary. Like, I would never want to live there.
No.
Apparently, it was, like, a big neighborhood debate, like, whether or not they should they should just knock down the whole place or, like, just resell it. And I guess reselling won.
That's so – but the amount of, like, trauma in the house and, like,
I know.
Things linger. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Josef Fritzl was sentenced to life in prison. In 2017, he changed his name to Josef Meyerhoff. I'm not really sure how to say that.
Yeah, Meyerhoff sounds right.
Yeah. He changed his name to that after he got in this, like, prison fight because everyone knew who he was.
He got in a prison fight in his 70s?
Yeah. I mean, people just – I don't think it was much of a fight. I think it was he got beat up. That was probably the wrong choice of words. He got beat up. In an interview that same year, he showed absolutely no remorse for his crimes. And he made some weird comment about, like, if more people looked into, like, the basements of fathers' houses, they might find second families. Like, it was really gross and weird.
That is not the case.
Yeah, like, he was acting like that was, like, normal. I don't know.
Ugh.
In 2021, the process for him to move to a psychiatric facility began, And in 2024, he requested to be moved into a nursing home because his dementia, but it wasn't accepted. And then in January of this year, it was approved for him to be moved back to the regular prison. But prosecutors filed for this to be overturned because if he's moved, he may be eligible for parole next year.
Ugh.
Which is crazy. Like, he's so old and this, like I didn't know. Like, how can you be let out?
No, yeah. And he's
not
so
that I think he necessarily
looking.
Poses, like, yeah, like, not that I know he can be, like, a threat anymore because of how old he is and, like, everyone seems protected right now. Like, he seems like, but just, like, you don't know.
No,
yeah, thank you.
You have no idea.
Like, don't let him out into the world.
No, and it's, like, he's one of those old men that's, like, scary looking. Like, he's genuinely
He's really scary. He's really, like, scary looking.
If I saw, I'm not even gonna lie, if I was walking by myself or with a group of people on the street and we, like, came up on him, like, he was walking towards us, I would cross the street.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter how old he was. He is scary looking.
He's really scary looking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this was the Fritzl case. So make sure to tune in next month for another new episode. And in the meantime, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at tgic.podcast. Bye.
Bye.